But what I just want to prepare our hearts for this evening is the enemy behind the scene. The enemy behind the scene. Every great working of the Spirit has to do with great availability of parts who have been given over to God to use. The Bible says in the book of Daniel chapter 9 that Daniel understood by books. And then understood that they were supposed to have been delivered after 7 years of captivity. But unknown to Daniel, Daniel saw a reality which was happening. He saw a reality from scripture. But Daniel was not exposed to the reality behind the scene. There's always a reality behind the scene that you need to know. If you don't get in touch with the reality behind the scene, you'll struggle in life. You call scripture even to God and discover there's no results. You have to know the reality behind the scene. So Daniel prayed and fasted. Daniel discovered that there was a reality behind the scene. And that reality was that there was a king called Darius, but there was also a prince of Persia behind. So the king Darius was only a vessel to reveal what was behind, which was the prince of Persia, which was under Babylonian Empire, expressing itself to Darius. And Darius told the people go. But the Bible says that Daniel engaged himself in some spiritual things and began to pray and pray and pray and pray. While he prayed, you see, you can't shift things except you are exposed to a reality beyond the natural. I'm not saying that the Bible is not true, but the Word of God, the Bible is not the complete Word of God. The Word of God is what God is saying. But the Bible has captured some thoughts of God, how He dealt with people in different seasons and different ages. So the Bible is not where God's saying ends. Hello? So God is still saying. Even though it's not recorded in the pages of scripture that you are reading, God is still saying. But God is so consistent that it does not contradict what He has said in the past. That is why the Bible becomes a yardstick to judge whatever God is saying. Hello? So that is why it's a yardstick. So we don't throw away the Bible because no, God is still talking. No. But it becomes a frame. That's why anytime God says something and it contradicts scripture, it becomes a basis of our performance. That's a platform. So we are not afraid. So when a prophet says, "Thus says the Lord," we know where to compare it with. But it must not perfectly come from the Bible before it's the Word of God. Hello? Because this Bible is what the thoughts that people, Bible says, holy men wrote as they were moved by God. So the same way prophets of now are moved, then they were writing, but we are not writing now. So the Word of God doesn't end in the Bible. The Bible is just a book that contains some thoughts that God expressed to them in that time, but is still ever living. And every other thing God will say, it would maintain a consistent character with what God has done in the past, because God doesn't contradict Himself. So God is still always talking. So the fact that you didn't find word for word from the Bible, if the Bible was the Alpha and Omega of God's word, there wouldn't need prophets in this time. There wouldn't need the apostles. We wouldn't need them. They're going to be useless. Don't tell us. The Bible tells us. So the Bible is just a guide. Like the apostles, we often ask ourselves, which Bible did they use? Because they didn't have a Bible. They had the Torah, and the Torah was hidden in the temple. The Torah was only given to the priests. So which Bible did they use? He said, we give ourselves continually to prayer and to the Word. So which Bible did they use? Which Word of God? So it was the continual Word. The Bible says, he spoke the Word expressly. There was always an express Word. But before you, see, Bible says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So there's a Word coming out of His mouth. So our work as Christians is to incline our hearts to that Word that is coming to us. So there was a Word always coming. Habakkuk says, I will stand up on my watch and I will hear what He will say unto me. So that means Christians are supposed to be people who are always inclined to a different reality, always inclined to thus says the Lord. God, that's why He gave me the Holy Ghost. That's why He says, you hear a voice behind you telling you this is the way. So there's a voice that you always be hearing that will have a basis from the literal Bible you're holding, but does not limit itself in the Bible, in scriptures. That's why Bible is not the word of God, but it contains the word of God. So as Christians, we need to have our ears open, always hearing what is God saying. But the Bible gives me a yardstick, so that when I hear a strange prayer, this is why it's not. It does not agree with scripture. Are you following me? Now the Bible is saying God now told Darius, and God now exposed him to a reality beyond what was written. What he heard was actually the word of God also, that they should have written, but that part was not written because it was not time for it to be revealed. So a man pressed into God, and that dimension of the word was now revealed to him. And the reality, which is still the word of God, he said, "Oh, Daniel, beloved of God," he said, "I bring you what the word of God, what God is saying." And that's still the word, but not the Torah or the Bible, but the word of God. You see, that word was what launched Daniel into liberty. And Daniel entered into liberty. Bible says Daniel prayed and fasted because he received that word. What does fasting do? Fasting positions our spirit to hear him clearly, so that you save pain of 50 years. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we save the pains of 50 years. We incline our ear to hear what he is saying. So there's a reality beyond the natural reality. But like I said, the Bible is a yardstick. But God's voice is not limited alone to what scripture says. So that's why we align our spirit to gain, to have understanding of a reality beyond the reality we are seeing. We incline our ears to hear what he's saying. Now, if Joshua was looking at the scripture, Joshua would have lost the battle. But while he was preparing based on what has been written by Moses, an angel appeared to him. He said, "Let me give you the battle plan on how to enter the next phase." But if he had been limited to that alone, he wouldn't have gotten it. But that was a springboard for him to be able to hear, "Thus says the Lord." So the voice of God is not limited to Ezekiel, this, but it becomes a yardstick. Because like I said, the character of God is consistent. Whatever God says will not contradict what is in the written word. But God is not limited to only the written word. So our spirit is open, but the word becomes a guide. So when you hear a strange spirit talking, no, it's not consistent with the character of God from scripture. Then we can say no. So when God speaks to you, like he has spoken to us, say we should go on a 40 days journey fasting. Now Jesus told the disciples, he said this cannot go except by praying and fasting. He didn't say they should go and pray and fast. But he says, you'd have operated in this dimension if you were always inclined. Fasting is not where you deny food, but includes denying of food sometimes. He said, "I will wait upon him that hided his face from Israel." To know why, what are you saying? Why are you hiding your face? What are you saying? So when I wait, I'll hear what he's saying. So that is what we should be more exposed to. That is why we are waiting. So when we wait, the pain you'd have lingered in 50 years, you'd have heard this way God wants to go. Because some people are zealously working for God based on the revealed knowledge from the Bible. But they're not hearing a voice that is behind the reality, behind the natural reality you are seeing. And some struggle. That's why some people go through kinds of fastings, all kinds of deliverance. Today, come be delivered. Sir, you prayed for me. I saw that thing again. Mm-mm. He has to know the reality behind what is happening. Or else, you just be laboring because God says, "Well, no, God's not going to pray except by prayer and fasting." You pray and fast, nothing is working. What is God saying? What is the battle plan on how you should do this? What does God demand upon your life? We must know, so you know how to go. That is what fast. So when Daniel prayed and fasted, he was able to know. Now, Darius was the king on the throne, but a prophecy was given that a child would be born. And that child was supposed to be Cyrus. But when Daniel prayed and fasted, something happened. The kingdom of Darius fell. And Cyrus took over. Now, Cyrus was the chosen man to deliver them. Now, we never heard in scripture that there was a force behind Cyrus. There was a force behind Daniel, beyond Darius. So as he fasted, he was thinking Darius was the problem. But the prince of Persia was the problem. So when he contended in prayer, the moment he dealt with the prince of Persia, the Bible tells us that Darius moved from the throne. Then Cyrus took over. Though they said they were a bit related, but from scripture, Cyrus took a reign over after Darius. And it was now Cyrus that now led to their deliverance and prepared the way how they would go out. So you see, Darius was only an expression of a prince working behind the scene. Until we can bring down this prince, we'll only be trying to bring revival in our flesh. We'll only condemn Channel O, bad Channel. Or we won't go and raise a Christian channel to contradict, but we'll be doing the work of God in the flesh. And we'll discover we're not succeeding. So when we wait upon him, is to take on his own strength. He will now give us the schemes, the secrets on how to undo the prince behind the spirit of this present age. So that we'll work to do things for the kingdom, being mantled by his own spirit. Because you can never, you know, Moses tried it. Moses saw from scripture, Abba, this is supposed to be delivered. He woke up, who is with me? Hey, let's go. After they dealt with the guy ran away. For 40 years, he didn't come back. God made sure his physical human strength, his zeal from scripture had died. I believe it was what his mother told him. You are not a Hebrew, you are a Jew. You are not a Israelite, you are a Jew. Okay, that's true. So he thought he could sponsor that revival through. I also from scripture and began to run. But you have to hear, thus says the Lord. So you know what to do. So that's the reason why we're taking up this fasting. God said, let my people wait upon me. And servant of God was talking about yesterday, he's talking about sons. Not those that will just run, but that will wait. The Bible says, talk about a remnant that will bear root downwards. Bear root downwards is to bear root into the operations of the Spirit and understand the dynamics of the Spirit. That is where they can bear the supernatural upwards and the manifestation upwards. Whatever happens upwards is only a byproduct of what's happening downwards. That's why the conference like this has been built, so that we'll go back and understand the dynamics and the operations of the Spirit. So that I will not, because I heard a powerful message, I will rush far. Then I say, Oga, when I did that thing, it didn't work. Whose strength did you use in doing it? And the question is, who even sent you in the first place? No, some of us are not sent. I have a very powerful young man in my house. If you say, you will go to the market, he would have reached the market and come back and say, what will I go and buy in the market? And that's what happened to us as ministers. They will now come back. They will start doing unnecessary praying and fasting, which you would have saved if you heard him before you even took the first step. May we not miss God. I say, may we not miss God. So learn to wait. I believe the sign of maturity is waiting. Waiting is not a weakness. It is strength. It is maturity. So this meeting is packaged to realign. Let's hear what the Lord is saying. He wants to manifest sons, but sons that will move in his own strength, not in their own strengths. Blessed are the people whose strength is in their God. The Bible says, they passing through the valley, then out of their belly shall flow rivers that shall fill the valley of Baca and make it a well. It will come from them. But if they have not been connected, where will the river come from? Where will the river come from? He said, though you not see rain, you not see wind, you not see fire, but this pool shall be filled. How did it get filled? It was the innermost being that thing got filled. Be still and know that I am God. So as servant of God will be coming up this morning, let's be open for what God wants to do. There's a remnant. God is preparing an army. The Joel army. Bible says this one, they shall not break ranks. They understand the order in the realm of the spirit. And they can fly and come out as saviors from Zion. Who would speak? Now they said, I'm free with power by the Spirit of God. There's a place their power is coming from. Can we pray for just 2 minutes and say, Lord, my heart is prepared. 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 Bondo parebo si prahata bala brisia. Ente pereke poroko baboshilaba. Bente pereke bata balebro si prana. Embe nebroko babose praketi prana masha. Lebroko roba hamre boshitaya. E pereke tebroko babose pala brandaya. Ente pereke boshilaba handaya. In the name of Jesus. This morning I woke up like 2:30. Let me just say this. Like 2:30 a.m. And if I woke me up was my dog. The dog was making some noise a dog eating something. So I went to check her. When I went, I didn't see what she was eating. So I called her. She followed me. Since I didn't need her, she went back. So I stood by the door. I called her. She came. She came up because you have to come up a pavement. She came up and I said, sit there. I told her where to sit. And dog went there and sat there. 30 minutes after then, I peeped through the window to see the dog. It was sitting there. 1 hour after then, I peeped. I saw dog sitting there. Ideally, the compound is so big. Go play around. 2 hours after that, I went and peeped. The dog was sitting there. The Lord said, what have you learned by this? Until I give that dog the next instruction, it sat there. 6 a.m., I checked the dog again. Dog was sitting there. I just said, God, when God says sit down, there will be things that will say, let's go, let's do. And I think dog is more restless than human beings. But this dog sat there. And the Spirit of God said, learn from this dog. Learn to sit until you hear the next instruction before you move. He said, with that, you never suffer casualty in this race and in this walk. Lord, speak to us tonight. Take me to the place. The place you are. The sacred place. That's where I wanna be. Take me, Lord.
Take me to the place.
To the place.
The place you are. The sea. That's where I wanna be.
Take me, Lord.
Take me to the place.
To the place.
The place you are.
The secret place.
The secret place.
Oh,
that's where I wanna be.
Take me to the place.
Take me to the place.
To the place.
The place you are.
Honor from my heart. I've learned to receive men of God with honor. So if you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, say you get the prophet's reward. There have been a lot of controversy about what is a prophet's reward. That's not a problem. If there's a prophet's reward, regardless what you, how you describe it, let me receive it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Sorry, we have a guest from Abuja, and please keyboard. And you know one thing, please let me just say this. I don't mean to take our time. I really appreciated their hospitality when I went. I really appreciated their hospitality. But this man of God said, the moment I left the hotel room, he went to the bed, made sure he didn't close the place, collected, and later I said, God, I want a grace that this man carries. He said, he just lay down and he went off. And suddenly, he said, what do you call it? A mantle dropped on him. He said, he shook him and suddenly he woke up. And he said, I caught it. We must always honor what people carry. This is a minister's conference. I'm not saying this to create a, maybe to say something or to create an impression, but the most proud people on earth are ministers. Understand? It's nothing like this. It's in the heart. Because you think you have arrived. But Satan is trying to deprive you of something greater. So I receive the servant of God as God. So that I don't know whatever he has functioned that I have not even seen. But there's a spirit behind him. And there are angels he functions with that I must walk with after he leaves. But you know, some people, it's when a man of God comes that they will now preach their best messages for that man to hear by force. Me too, I'm powerful. Don't think, you understand. And they want to tell him how many miracles they have performed. So like, you don't think we are also there. But humility says, humble and collect. Humility doesn't take anything away from you. It adds to you. So with all humility, with great respect for these servants of God, I want to say as a church, we welcome you. We receive you. We receive the grace upon your life. The labor of many years, we want to enter into it. Not by a seat, but by hunger. You know, and it's true. Like he said, for me 5,000, the years of laboring, they just lay hands on me and let the whole man to rest upon me. No, we launch by hunger. Bible says, a man through desire. Through desire, separated himself. We are hungry and we trust that our life will not remain the same because you came. That this ministry will not remain the same because you came. And by the grace of God, he has played a role in this ministry. We all attest to that. Is that not so? That is why we look forward to always having him. We look forward to always having him. Whatever time will fix, it's not based on whether it's important. It is based on the prophetic agenda of God for the now. Anytime you see, we ask him to come. It has nothing to do with whether conference. Anytime you say, God say now, I just obey. So now you say, God, but it's not the conference. God say, bring the servant of God. I just bring him. And when I call him, most of the time, at that period, he's not engaged. For you to tell you that it's God that is working. And I thank God for the humility. He would have said, it's supposed to be on the conference. I don't go to small board meetings. A man that hears God is in the house. I'm not trying to blow his trumpet, but that's just the truth. That's just the truth. So can we stand up with a standing ovation? and appreciate Apostle George Selby. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you. Please sit down. Thank you so much, Pastor. God bless you. Hallelujah. It's always my joy and my privilege. Hallelujah. God taught me years ago that He can do without me. Hallelujah. Years ago that He can do without me. So, when people begin to act indispensable, they reveal the realm that they are functioning in. Hallelujah. Humility is not just a state, it's a realm as a result of an experience. The Bible says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. And at the end of that encounter, Isaiah said, send me. I always ask this question, who sent him from chapter 1 to 5? Hallelujah. So we thank God for what God is doing in this ministry. I've had the opportunity to say this through the years. Please, everyone who has the opportunity to attend these conferences, don't take it for granted. Hallelujah. It takes a lot of energy, resources, prayer, fasting to put this up together. Hallelujah. So receive. And I'd like us to just stand in 1 minute and honor the servant of God for putting this platform. Can you just appreciate him? God bless you, Pastor. Thank you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Please sit down. The immaturity of competition that happens in the body of Christ is a deficiency of the organization or an understanding of God's organization and His structure of operation. Hallelujah. Because when you know what God has given you, you will know what He has not given you. And you will honor and respect those who carry it. Hallelujah. It's a sign of great immaturity for a man to step into a place and begin to... It is God that exalts men. And He designed it in such a way that if you exalt Him, He put the glory in you, so you will also be exalted. He said, Father, the hour has come. John 17 verse 1. He said, glorify now thy Son, to the end that thy Son will bring glory to you. Hallelujah. And so we thank God for this morning. And God is doing great and prophetic things in this meeting. I know that it's a wonderful thing God is doing, and I pray that God will really open our eyes to see what He's doing. Let's just look at a scripture before we begin. Genesis 3. Thank you, Jesus. Let the name of the Lord be exalted. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. There's nothing as honorable as a man being powerful, mighty in the spirit, and yet maintains a stature of humility. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says, when you go into a place, He said, go and sit at the back. This was a prophetic language. We have too many people wanting to sit in front, Pastor. He says, sit at the back. That grace will speak and it will carry you to the rightful place. There are many people who are wrongly sitting in the front and they will be taken to the back. It will happen. We want more of you. We want more of you. Jesus, the more we know you, truly the more we want to know you. Jesus, more of you. Hallelujah. You know, Pastor just said something and I wanted to laugh, but I had to package myself because I was about to come up and preach. Talked about men of God who try to preach messages and say the miracles that they have done. It's a sign that you are not even making any impact if you have to announce it. According to Proverbs 31, he said, let her work speak for her at the gates. She will not speak for her works. He said, let her walks. Job said, in the day when the secret of the Lord was upon my tabernacle, the young men will see me and hide their faces. He said, the ancient will stand. Men have to be the ones to testify. The Bible says it was noised abroad that Jesus was in town. Didn't tell us who noised it. It was noised. So all this bragging about miracles, I did this. Of course, there is a place of declaring the works of the Lord. Hallelujah. But many ministers do that and they never tell you what happened now, Pastor. They start giving you stories and useless encounters that happen. I mean, not useless in the sense, but the attitude they put towards it. Something that happened by the mercy of God, not their spiritual level. God was in the meeting walking. It's just that they were on stage while it was happening. And they are convinced that it happened because of them. Because they can't reproduce it again. It happened because of the hunger of the people. Or a general that was hidden in the crowd who was commanding an anointing and did not speak. Hallelujah. If God opens our eyes to the realm of the spirit, it will break our pride in ways we will not recover from it. I'm always aware that when I stand to minister like this, I'm not impressing everybody. There are certain silent people. They may not talk, but they have an identity, a badge, a charisma in the spirit. So when you maintain that posture, you are able to communicate life in a way that will minister to people. Bless God for the wisdom that people are learning in this ministry. This is the kind of revelation that will produce mighty men. Hallelujah. The Bible says in the cave called Adullam, to David was brought certain weak and beggarly people, but he began to make warriors out of them. To the extent that the Bible begins to give us the chronicles of their exploits. And said, among those weak men came mighty men. One who would fight and his hands would cleave to the sword. And David said, oh, that I would drink of the pool of Bethlehem. And these three mighty men, they were men who have been trained, apostles, symbols. See, let me tell you something. The proof that a man of God is great is in the lives and the success he has multiplied in others. Not how much he has built an empire for himself. Thank you, Jesus. Genesis 3. I also appreciate every servant of God in this place. The Lord bless you. Thank you once again. 24. Genesis 3, 24. Or let's start from 23. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from where he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way of the tree of life. Please look up. I just want to explain a few things to us before we start. The Bible says that because man had, you see, the tree of life was meant to keep man in whatever state he was. Do you understand? The tree of life sustains you in whatever state you are in. And now that he had partaken of the forbidden tree, hallelujah, if he ate the tree of life again, he will remain in that state and redemption will be impossible. Hallelujah. And so the man was driven out from the garden. And to guard the garden was not a gate. It was a cherubim and a flaming sword. So that whoever will get back into that reality must encounter these two experiences. The cherubim and the flaming sword. Hallelujah. And this is what happens when we come to prophetic meetings like this. Because you see, it's one thing to see the kingdom. It's one thing to know about the kingdom. It's one thing to preach about the kingdom. But it's another thing to enter the kingdom experientially. And so many of us may not understand the degrees of transformation that are happening in our lives. You will just turn and find out that you've been elevated in a realm and you've been made to have power with God and with men. A cherubim and a flaming sword. That's why the word of God comes with fire. It's not just called a sword. It's called a flaming sword. Because it comes into you and it prunes, it refines, it creates an effect He said, narrow is the way that leads to life. I've told people it's not heaven. The way to heaven is not narrow. The way to heaven is Jesus. It's called the way. The way to life is this new realm of reality. He said narrow because you are not permitted to carry excess luggages. It's narrow. It has defined what can pass through. But he said wide is the way that leads to destruction. And many follow because of the convenience associated with that realm. So every time you get to that route, you will have to throw a lot of things. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So let's just take on something this morning. Hallelujah. We'll be taking a progression to understand the blueprint of God in making sons and the prophetic agenda of God for our lives and for what He's doing, not just in the Bible but in the continent of Africa. Jesus, more of you. Joel 2. More of you. More of you. More of you. Obadiah 21 says, and saviors shall come out of Zion. He said, and they shall judge the mount of Esau. Prepare our hearts, O God. Tonight, take all the glory. Every time of training is called a night time, whether in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening. In the realm of the spirit, day does not start before night. The Bible says, and the evening came, and the morning, and the evening came, and the morning, and the evening came. The night time is the time when preparations are made. The night time is the time when power is contacted in the heavens. The daytime is the time for the manifestation. Hallelujah. The Bible says, He made many lights, but then He made two great lights. One to rule in the day, and the other to rule in the night. And so when that light comes upon you, you will command power both in the day and in the night. Many people have power in the day, but they don't have power in the night. They do not understand the mystery. He told Job, he said, hast thou commanded thy morning? How can a man command his morning? Hast thou commanded thy morning? And the Muslims and different people, they understand the mystery of commanding and speaking to their morning. I'm not talking about just waking up and praying and speaking. They understand. They know how to check it from Mecca and Medina, and they see when the alignment of the star and the moon comes in, and they don't miss it by more than 2 days. Spiritual intelligence is what is lacking grossly in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. As a church universal, we lack the capacity to interpret spiritual things. People bump into things, Pastor, that just happen physically. We just bump into things. You imagine what happened when Jesus was born. Only Herod, the angels, the shepherds, wise men, and the mother of Jesus knew what was happening. Everyone was just roaming around and saying, why is the night so bright in the city of Bethlehem? Little did they know that these were handwritings on the wall that were connoting certain seasons. Because you see, the angel Gabriel does not come until there is a change in season. He's a messenger angel. Every time Gabriel shows up in the Bible, he comes to grant access and usher people into new seasons. And when Daniel was traveling, the Bible says that when he was on his way coming, the prince of Persia, that spiritual wickedness that is over the territory called Persia, attempted to stop him. And because the organization of angels is so defined, they don't break ranks. It was not given unto Gabriel to fight, not because he does not possess the power, but he is the archangel in charge of service. And so he had to depend on the spiritual understanding of Daniel to keep on praying. And as a result, Michael was sent. And Michael came and prevailed over the angel, and he was allowed. He said, "And then I am come to give you understanding." Hallelujah. Joel 2. Hallelujah. Blow the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let the inhabitants of the earth tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is near at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, like the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people. Now you begin to watch the description of this army. A great people and a strong. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is like the garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and like horsemen so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots upon the tops of the mountains they shall leap. Look at the structure of this kind of army. Like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, shall the strong people set in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. The Bible says they shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. And they shall march every one on his ways. And they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall anyone trust another. They shall walk every one in his path. And when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city, and they shall run upon the wall. They shall climb upon the houses, and shall enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before these kinds of people, and the heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the star shall withdraw her shining. 11. It says, and the Lord, the owner of this great army, shall utter his voice from before his army, for his camp is very great. For he is strong who executed his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can bear it? Hallelujah. The Bible begins to give us a description of these kinds of people. And it tells us that these are a kind of people. The Bible does not mention the leadership of this army. It just tells us they are a people who are mighty. And then, after it keeps us in suspense for a while, it tells us the captain of that army. He said, the Lord shall utter his voice, and this army shall hear. In other words, it will not be an army that is built upon a person or a doctrine. It shall be a structure that answers only to one voice and one name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And this morning, briefly, I would like to just take a little journey with us to understand how that God makes a man a son experientially. Hallelujah. The journey, the price, the cost of sonship. What does it take for man to possess such authority to be able to stand and legislate? And listen, please, I'm not talking about just power to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devil. I'm talking of authority to command influence over territories. Hallelujah. But this is the heritage of the sons in Christ. To possess an ability in the spirit. The Bible says, the heaven of heavens belongs to the Lord, but the earth has he given to the sons. And so we must be able to know how to take charge and take what we call dominion. Unfortunately, what many people call dominion is grossly short of the description of God.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, when you get born again, you give your heart to the Lord, you come to a point where Jesus becomes not necessarily Lord of your life, but you acknowledge the fact that He is Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When that happens, then the Holy Spirit comes upon you, especially for we Pentecostals. You fall, you shake. Hallelujah. Ba 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 ba. And then you get up. And then what happens from there? Because this journey is what has been misunderstood by many believers. And so they do not know how to align themselves to the Holy Spirit to continue the journey. Hallelujah. And in many circles, we just teach people that once you are filled with the Holy Ghost, the next thing is to begin to press to see one drop of anointing here and there, one word of knowledge, one gift. Did you know that the Bible gives those experiences a name? What does it call them? Gifts. What is a gift? You've collected one, so what is a gift? This is a minister's conference. What is a gift? No. Whatever you say, you are right. Don't worry. It's not a prophetic question. It's a direct, what is a gift? Hallelujah. A gift is an expression of love and kindness to you. Has nothing to do with your merit of it. Hallelujah. And so when the Bible says the gift of the Spirit, it's amazing that a man brags over a gift. Is that not interesting? He calls them what? Gifts. The only reason is in the Church of Christ, we have had only few portraits that have moved beyond the realm of gifts. This is the reason why the central pivot and the attracting factor for the average believer is to get to a point where he walks in gifts. But having given us a comprehensive description of this gift, then in 13 he says, behold, I show you a more excellent way. That means there are other ways. The Bible begins to give us a description in Isaiah 11. Talking about the fullness of the Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of this. Not a gift. The Spirit of it. Hallelujah. So when you get born again and you begin to walk with God, the Lord begins to, it is in the character of God to build believers according to His name and according to dimensions. Hallelujah. You will not just stand. What we call spiritual growth, please write. What we call spiritual growth is not just praying in tongues. Spiritual growth means two things. Number one, your degree of conformity to the structure and the character and the nature of the Christ. Your degree of conformity. For when you get born again, I know that the Bible says we are complete in Him. But you see, you must understand the prophetic nature of Scripture and the way that spiritual realities are communicated. Because it is when, like Pastor said, people judge Scripture from the flesh. And so they say, the Bible says we are complete in Him. There's nothing else that should be done. But the Bible says there were many lights. So that's not a lie. But He said there were two great lights. And in the presence of those two great lights, we could not see those other lights again. Hallelujah. Many lights. So, spiritual growth is first and foremost your degree of conformity. And this is the reason why the Bible says when He led captivity captive, He gave gifts unto men. Hallelujah. First apostles and prophets, Ephesians. Hallelujah. First apostles and prophets, and then teachers and evangelists and pastors. For what? Not building ministries and names and wearing suits. He said for the equipping of. He already called them saints, but they must be equipped. Are you seeing that? He didn't say for turning men into saints. For the equipping of the saints, comma, that they, the saints, will now do the work of the ministry. So what we call ministry is actually the equipping of gifts. The fivefold are not the ministers. They are the gifts that equip the body to do the ministry. Hallelujah. He said to the end that we all come into. That means there is an expectation. This journey is not a vague journey. You should mold into a portrait with time. Hallelujah. So if your Christian experience is not gaining a shape and a posture over time, you are following the wrong map. Hallelujah. He said to the end that we all come into the fullness of the stature of the measure of Christ. As a result, not being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. And so, spiritual growth measures your degree of conformity. How much you have come into experiential alignment with the life of God, His culture, His principles, His way of life, your depth of oneness, how much you have been able to intermingle yourself with the Christ. Number two, spiritual growth is measured in how much you have been able to contact the authority of the Christ and to make it visible in this realm. We call it the manifestation of the glory. This is where we talk about authority, not just power. There is a difference between authority and power. Hallelujah. Authority is a position. Power talks of force, the agency that gives strength to authority. Hallelujah. If this is my church, hallelujah, and assuming this lady is an usher, the moment I get married to her, she has authority. Correct? She may be weak physically, but she has authority. Many people in the body of Christ know power, but we have little knowledge about authority. And Jesus kept scanning through his walk in the earth to find out if any man would have that understanding. And then one day he found a man. The Bible calls him the centurion. And when Jesus, he beckoned on Jesus to heal his son. And Jesus said, all right, I'm coming. He said, no. You do not need to come, because I am not naive about authority. For I myself, I am a man who is under authority of the Roman government. And by reason of this position I occupy, I can tell a man, go, and he will go. I will tell another, come, and he will come. And if he refuses, then power. You see that? Power comes to enforce the strength of authority. So when you command a demon to go, it is by authority. The power of the Holy Ghost is the agency. The ministry of angels and all the spiritual dynamics that happen are the manifestations of power that compels obedience and alignment. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so spiritual growth measures how much. Don't tell me you are born again and all you have is character alone. Wonderful, but that's not all. So a lot of people give all kinds of excuses when they see the manifestation of the Spirit in ministries like this and other great ministries. They get angry and then they say, well, the most important thing is your character. That's why I'm giving you the full definition. Because many people have excused it. We come, the sick come, and they go back. The oppressed come, and they go back. They ask the man of God why, and he said the most important thing in the Spirit is character. That's wonderful. But you ask Jesus Christ, when John the Baptist, frustrated in the prison, he sent his disciples, he said, go and ask him, are you the Messiah, or we should expect another? This was the same man who baptized Jesus and endorsed him. Now, as a result of his frustration, he began to ask. And Jesus did not answer the man. He turned and healed the sick, casted out devils, and said, you go and tell John what you saw. The manifestation of the kingdom. Commanding authority over territories. Becoming a principality over the territory that you function in. When Jesus stepped into Gadarene, the presence and the authority that he carried shook that heavens to the extent that the madman who was a custodian of the demons that operated around that territory was the first person to meet with Jesus. The Bible tells us that the madman lived in caves. So who told him Jesus was coming? Those were the spirits that were responsible for the boisterous nature of the storm. So when Jesus said shalom, he was not just speaking to the waters. He was speaking to all the forces. And when he stepped into Gadara, there he met a man who began to negotiate with him. Because he knew for sure they were going to leave that man. How good will it be that you step into an environment and demons know for sure that their time has come? To the extent that they didn't beg and say, leave us. They said, we know we are going to go. There's no controversy about that. So our plea now is not leaving. Our plea is, don't take us out of this territory, because we have been assigned to function there. This is going to be the character of these men called the sons of God. They will move in signs and wonders and do more miracles unconsciously than they would do consciously. The new rule for greatness in our generation and our time will not be how much power you carry. It will be a different rule. How much you can keep territory stand still. The Bible talks of Joshua. He said he looked at the sun and he told the sun, you shall not shift. I change geography. Whatever needs to be altered in the northern and southern hemisphere, let it happen, because a son has spoken. Jesus looked at Lazarus, and from standing from that point, he made a call that reverberated in Hades and took the spirit of one man and brought him back into his body. That's a degree of dominion and authority. You know why he called the name of Lazarus? If he just said, come forth, everybody who had died would have come forth. So he said, I need just one person as an example. I speak from hell, Lazarus. And there was a ripple effect. It shook the earth realm and entered hell and picked up that man called Lazarus and brought him out. And if you understand the way there was embalmment, even if you were not dead, you must die when they finish that embalmment. If by any means you are a Nigerian and you get to pretend, by the time they are done with that environment, be sure that you are going to die. And so, how did Lazarus rise up from the grave and walk out? Because his legs and his hands were bound. But that same voice brought him until he stood. And he said, loose the man and let him go. See, brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. All that we have seen is not all that there is. I've studied revivals carefully, because the Bible says follow them who through faith and patience. It didn't say follow deceivers. Follow people who have obtained the promise, not liars and hungry people whose God is their belly. I've had the opportunity to study revivals. And can I tell you something? Do you know that in the days of the Azusa Street, the Wealth Revival, D.L. Moody Revival, do you know that the newspapers, all the talk of the town was what God was doing in a city? To the extent that they had what they call a spiritual mayor. Alexander Dowe was a spiritual mayor over Illinois. He had the authority to say he was going to build a city called Zion. He was tired. Of course, that was not the best of a decision. Hallelujah. But we honor him for demonstrating authority over that city. He bought a property and put a new city in that place. When it was 12 on the dot, everybody in that city must stop wherever you are and pray. Wherever you are, you must stop and pray. He became such a force in that city. But right now, if you see a man's poster on newspaper, two things have happened. He paid for it, or he has done something wrong. And they are telling the world, finally, expose. This guy has done so, so, and so, and so. Or, come for my program. Signed by the Apostle Joshua Selman. If your influence is not territorial, you are not yet a son. We have many local champions shouting in church, doing everything, But outside the immediate environment, there is no operation of the kingdom. They have not gained power in the heavens to regulate times and seasons and to compel all things to come into the obedience of Christ. A man called St. Patrick, in a land called Ireland, what a great man. He shook that place single-handedly. Someone had been dead 6 months, the son of the king. And he said, prove to me that this Jesus is alive. And they said, I know one man called St. Patrick. They called St. Patrick. He said, I will prove it to you. He signed his name, St. Patrick, on the grave. He said, open it up. And they brought that guy alive. True story. Not the type men of God lie in church. He said, I was there and 80 people fell under the anointing. If you understand the move of the Spirit, it's impossible to know. All those things are jargons. A symbol of immaturity. Handling the word of Christ craftily. And then people clap. What a shame. And demons are saying, but the other people that lived in those generations were hotter than this. What is going on? And at the end of it, a protocol leads the man. Hey, family, I beg all those things. There must be a higher call. I'm giving you a new taste, a new appetite for spiritual things. Hallelujah. So when a man begins to walk with God, the dimension of his revelation and operation in your life by the Spirit begins to switch. Because having enjoyed the gifts of the Spirit and all of these things, the first thing God begins to do is to put desire in you. Proverbs 18 verse 1. It says, through desire, a man, having separated himself, intermeddled with all wisdom. Suddenly, you begin to become uncomfortable with status quo. It's not an act of rebellion. It's a higher call. Because according to Ecclesiastes 3 verse 11, the Bible says, he makes all things beautiful in his time. And he has put a realm in man called eternity. He has put eternity in man. And every time your walk in time is becoming enormous, God will touch that realm and it will swallow up everything and leave you with a new hunger. Hallelujah. And so when you begin to walk with God, listen to me. He now begins to lead you through experiences. And can I tell you something? This is how men are even supposed to know they are called. It's not just a choice. It's not just by prophecy. Hallelujah. Over time, as you begin to walk with God, his dealings begins to mold you into a fashion. And you see that this is an apostolic fashion. This is a prophetic fashion. This is an evangelistic fashion. Out of the depth of that experience, a message will come out. And that becomes your mandate and your assignment. The reason why our conviction in the body of Christ is not strong is because it's not born out of experiences. It's born out of story. So we know the God of this, the God of that, which is wonderful. But he wants to become your God. Hallelujah. He said, I will be their God and they shall be my people. Praise the Lord. So when you begin to walk with God, he begins to bring you to a point of dissatisfaction. Please listen to me. It begins to make you dissatisfied. Do you know, Pastor, that the average Christian in the church in Nigeria is not even interested in going deeper with God? The average Christian. Hallelujah. And that's why their lack of hunger for God has put so much pressure upon men of God. If you don't have AC in your church, you are in trouble. After 2 days, the people are packing out. But the Bible tells us, history tells us that in the days of Catherine Kuhlman, people will stand by 3 a.m. for a service of 6 p.m. Hunger. The day you see people fill up a meeting, a celebrity musician is coming or someone. And the Bible says because the people like it so. So the men of God have been compelled. And right now we have read all kinds of church psychology books that have taught us to convert our church into a business organization that is supposed to feed the appetite of people. And we have ministries that have websites that you vote the message on Sunday. Oh yes. Oh yes. No, here you don't know because you are busy building yourself in the spirit. But I'm telling you, there are realities that happen. So you vote it. And there are suggestion box if for any reason you were grieved by the gravity of the presence of the spirit in that meeting. It is within your power as a citizen of that country and a well-meaning member of that church to communicate your grievances to the end that an amendment be made for tomorrow. And now you don't laugh because it is that same congregation that are saying the earth is waiting for the manifestation of sons. After this morning, you will know whether the world is waiting for you or you are the one who is waiting for us. There will be a separation this morning so that you will know whether or not. You see, truly, every time I hear people, you go on air, almost everybody saying a revival is coming, and they are the ones who are corrupting the revival. There is no sign of urgency. There is no sign of preparedness. You see, to the extent that you see a man of God who just come on stage and say, I'm fulfilled for my past so years in ministry. There's almost no dimension of God I've not seen. This is nice. This is great. And I pray for you. My prayer for you is that God will help you to comprehend a bit of the things he's showing me. And one general is seated in the crowd who is descending from a higher plane and saying, Lord, have mercy. This is why when the members begin to open themselves to what God is doing in other places, the geos become uncomfortable. And then they start structuring messages out of their fear and loss to accommodate the pressures that they are trying to manage. And they begin to put all kinds of devilish prophetic teachings and say, what, I am this, the shepherd in this house, hear only me, hear only this. When you hear men of God begin to talk like that, let me tell you the honest truth. It's an expression of fear and intimidation, because the more the people begin to know, the lies you are telling them, they will start discerning it and they will start asking questions with time. Hallelujah. Oh, pastor, men of God do a... This is a minister's conference. Different things. There are churches when you come, when someone is hungry, the ushers say, what is it? Are you hungry? Are you depressed? Come, we have a kitchen here. Come and relax. And then, right now, because of lack of fire and the presence and the glory of God, people manage all kinds of things. Someone is sleeping around, they say, you know, the construction of the human being is such that with the complexity that exists in our society, it is not unusual for a married man to have an urge for a lady. It happens to all of us. You see that spirit, that universal kind of thing. And so when anything happens, they say, forget, the Bible says this and that. Someone has been smoking marijuana and the church places him on psychological withdrawal symptoms. And we employ all kinds of psychologists and we say, take it gradually. We'll be giving you one shot later, half. Shame on the church. We brag about it when we go for conferences. We stand before people and we even say, I have this and that, and this is what it does. Because the Bible says, woe to any city whose king is a child. Woe. Doesn't matter how many years you have been in ministry, whose king is a child. But the earth, creation, has been crying. So you see, they all have voices. The birds, the earth, all of them. Listen, don't be deceived by the structure and the way earth is. It's important for you to understand that this earth has voices, the winds and everything. The prophet will speak to the earth and say, oh earth, hear, hear. And the earth responds. At least some of our American films and all the films that we have around have given us a description that there are certain things in these laws that we do not know. Hallelujah. And creation keeps discussing and saying, a prophecy was left that will be delivered from this bondage of corruption. Did you know that when Hurricane Katrina was going to hit, 3 days before it hit, all the animals there went away? Oh yes, they went away.
Oh, they knew it. They communicated to themselves and said, get out of this place. Man is at it again. And because of his carelessness, we are about to suffer something. And the men were busy eating burgers and pasta and everything. And all the prophets were there bragging and saying, I saw it and I ran away. Why didn't you stop it? I'm telling you, sometimes I've been praying. I say, God, let me be caught up in the spirit and meet the cloud of witnesses. I want to talk with just four of them. I want to ask them just a question, just a session, even if it's 5 minutes. What is your suggestion for our generation? Hallelujah. Is there a hunger in you for more? Now, and you see, when I talk about ministry, I hope you know I'm not just talking, I've said it earlier, I'm not just talking of pastor and all of this, because some of us are imagining, God didn't tell me I'm going to carry a pulpit. The revival that will break out, let me tell you the honest truth, Rejoiner in his book, The Final Quest, having caught up in the spirit, he begins to give us a description of this prophetic move and the structure and organogram. The revival is not just going to break in churches, it's going to be a systemic revival. That's why God is raising generals in media, in education, in different places. Our job is to bring in the presence and the glory of God, to create an embassy through which heaven will infiltrate that system. And can I tell you something? It has been prophesied, so we will not fail. For sure. For sure. This is what moves ministers who are sensitive to begin to put meetings like this. It is in response to prophecy. Hallelujah. It's a blow the alarm in Zion. And so let's try to hurry up and establish something. When you begin to walk with the Spirit of God, the first thing that the Lord begins to do when He wants to walk in you is to begin to reveal your inadequacy to you. And let me tell you, that is the best experience that can happen to a believer. The Bible says, blessed are the poor in spirit. What is the reward? Open your Bible and check. It's not an exam. No, check. I'm serious. You must know it. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is what? Sorry? I thought some people say shall inherit the earth. Let me say, go and read your Bible very well. Hallelujah. He said, what does it mean to be poor in spirit? To be poor in spirit is not, it's a blessing. Many people have said, the poor in spirit. They don't mention in spirit, they just say poor. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit. You know why? The word there is those who have come to a point where they are perpetually aware of their inadequacy. That's what it means to be poor in spirit. God designed us to be inadequate. It's a default posture. It won't change. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. That perpetual revelation of their inadequacy and constraint. You know that song that says, when all things that surrounds me become shadows in the light of you. So in the light of Him, different things are swallowed up and it keeps you. My prayer for God every time is, Lord, perpetually keep me poor in spirit. When that happens, I'm telling you, you will be rich in power and rich in grace. That sense of satisfaction creates complacency and it ends your journey in the spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. So God begins to reveal your true state. And usually that happens at a time people are beginning to see the grace of God upon your life. And people begin to clap for you. And because God loves you, He won't say anything. But that does not mean He's endorsing what you are doing. Listen, are you listening? This is a minister session this morning. And so you find out that you love God and you are walking, but you can't see any lady and spare her. And God seems to be silent. And we call it an endorsement. We say it's a confirmation that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Do you not understand that this was adumbrated in the parable when the Bible says, while men slept, the enemy planted wheat among tears. When the husbandman came and saw it, the people said, should we remove it? He said, no. In other words, the wheat is still
growing. And in the process, you may damage the wheat. And he says, so let them grow. That's why when you begin to walk with God, he may keep silent over an issue in your life. It doesn't mean he's not aware of it. By the time you maintain certain levels of structure, he will now say, okay, so let's review this. Hallelujah. When you are about to go for one ministration that will make you king and kings or lord of lords, God will say, okay, this is the time when we'll have 7 days, me and you. And then when you go there, you are shouting, oh power, God say, we are not talking power right here. I, the Lord, test the heart, and I try the reins, and I reward every man according to my findings. It's amazing. Do you know that the heart factor, when God begins to talk about your heart, begin to rejoice because you are ready to come into experiential sonship. So you've started jumping. Oh, hallelujah, I'm blessed, I'm great, my life is this, I'm a millionaire for Jesus, 10 million will come, it will move me, Lord, I love you, I will buy the car and give everybody. And God says, you were here when they called for 5,000. You couldn't buy a tape. You couldn't buy a book. I gave you an instruction to buy 5,000 for someone. You know, let me tell you, the Bible says every man is right in his own eyes. It's a description of the need for God to see that there's nothing in you. It means that you need God. Hallelujah. So God begins to break your pride. Because you see, every man, the Bible says that the riches of a man is his strong city. It's not necessarily money. Whatever you have that you treasure becomes your source of confidence. When you walk with God, the first assignment is to take it away or keep it under suspense so that you have nothing else to hold on to, and then he will lead you. Hallelujah. A great general of God shared a story one time how that when he began to move in the anointing, he was moving in power every time, and he was happy. Whether he prays or not, he found out that mighty things were happening in his meeting. And so he was wondering, why the fast, why the prayer, why all of this? Since the result seems to be the same. Samson slept with a harlot, and afterwards he lifted a city gate. That did not endorse him. We have many people who believe. Listen, let me tell you something. The mercy of God has boundaries. Are you listening to me? This was structured in the tabernacle. The Bible tells us that the Ark of the Covenant had something called Shibboleth above it, the mercy seat. When you shifted the mercy seat, there were three things you see inside the Ark. Number one, the Ten Commandments. Two, the rod of Jesse, the rod of Aaron that budded. And number three, the sample of the shewbread that would not decay. And when you looked at the law, all that you would see was judgment. And so, rebellion begins to shift a man out of the jurisdiction of God's mercy. And a day will come, you will step in, and what you will face is his judgment. The psalmist tells us it's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of God. Hallelujah. So now you are walking, great brother, great sister. You believe that you want to be prosperous. Oh God, give me the anointing upon these people and see what I will do for you. And God is looking at your heart. Hallelujah. So your progressive dealings with God starts with a revelation, right, of the true state of your heart. Because you see, this journey of entering into the kingdom of heaven is not an impartation. You keep cooperating with the Spirit. It means you can stop on the way. A day can come, you can say, God, I'm tired. To thy tents, O ye Israel, this is where I've camped, I've tried. You won't go to hell. But be sure that what you are seeing, like Moses, you will see the promised land, but you will not enter. Hallelujah. God begins to reveal the state of your heart. And so this morning, God is going to reveal to us the state of our heart. And then God will guide us. God keeps telling me all the time, son, you have not even seen anything about my glory and my anointing. That's why I get afraid when people begin to talk and say, we have in our midst a great man of God. Hey, I just imagine God listening and say, remember, while the applause are coming, I'm hearing his voice louder than the claps. He's saying, remember what we discussed in the secret place. Compared to where you should go, you are just one step out of the cave. That's why, you see, when you have these experiences, these songs that you sing as special number become an expression of truth. So every time you sing it before people, you communicate, you reveal to them the overflow of your secret place, and you are able to impart upon them the same fire that that drives you. Hallelujah. What is this that I see? The Lord shows me the same flaming sword that I spoke about. I see a flaming sword, silver in color, and is rotating in the atmosphere. God is doing a work in this place. I'd like you to yield to what the Spirit of God is doing. Hallelujah. A flaming sword. I see two flaming swords now. Two flaming swords. And the number two is symbol of a witness in the realm of the Spirit. Father, do what you are doing. Furnish us. Make us sons in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And so, Joel begins to speak of this army and tells us the structure that this army will carry. But you see, that army you see in Joel is the end product. Are you listening to me? But then, it will not just come by claiming. You don't claim that realm. Hallelujah. The Bible says, let us therefore labor. The word labor in the Greek there is constrain yourself even as unto death to enter that realm. Let us therefore labor. He said, for there remaineth a rest for the people of God. Although they are the people of God, he said, there remaineth a rest. Hallelujah. Let me show you something interesting. Jeremiah. Jeremiah 17. So we bow as we enter the throne room, and we come at your feet, for you are holy, thou art worthy, there is none like you, for in your presence that is where we must be. Lord, we bow as we enter the throne room, and I cast myself down at your feet, Lord, for you are holy, you are holy, there is none like you. In your presence, that is where we must be. For in your presence, that is where we must be. For in your presence, that is where we are changed. It's in your presence, that is where I must be. In your presence, that is where I am changed. I am changed. There is no one like my God. There is no one like my God. The one who can prune and change and refine. There is no one like my God. Blessed is he who comes in the
the name of our God. Blessed are you, for you come to us in the name of our God. Blessed is he who comes in the name of our God. In the name of our God. In the name of our God.
You know why I sang this song? I suddenly began to hear the sound of chariots, mighty chariots, mighty chariots, mighty chariots. And I was wondering, suddenly a light was opened before me, and that was why I began to sing. Learn to respond to spiritual things. This is what is happening to you. Your organs of interaction and expression in the spirit are being exercised so that you are able to discern and walk with the frequency of the spirit. You are able to move at the respiratory rate of the spirit, so you know what impulse of the spirit is at every time. But this is how you gain power, structure in the spirit.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of our God.
Jeremiah 17, you're still there, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Just stop there. Look at me. What we call heart, listen, by design, the heart of man was designed to house God and his purposes. Hallelujah. It's a realm. He designed it. It's not just your spirit. It's his position in your heart. Hallelujah. And so the Holy Spirit sits in that position, or was designed to sit in that position, so that he will become the third throne, connecting you with heaven and administrating things there. Because all the way from scripture, there are only two thrones. Because the third throne was designed to find expression and inhabit that man who is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And so, for some reason, as a result of the fall of man, God and his counsel and his purposes fell out of man's heart. Hallelujah. And several things began to gain position into that heart. The fear of death being the greatest dread of man, and the quest for sustenance being his greatest ambition. This is the reason why doctors are rich. They are attempting to preserve life. Is that correct? Everybody will pay any amount to make sure that he does not exit this earth, because he's not sure of what he will face. Hallelujah. And so, several things through our journey in life, our culture, our environment, our society, mindset, different ideologies begin to form ladders. Hallelujah. In our hearts. And then the thing that finally gets into your heart is truly your Lord. Whatever it is. If it's a woman, that's your Lord. If it's money, if it's position, if it's anointing, if it's ministry, I don't care what it is, if it's titles. So when you get born again, Jesus, I give you my heart, be the Lord of my life. The only thing that was really valid at that point is the revelation of him being Savior. Because that is purely on account of his grace, and there is no works, lest any man should boast. But being Lord of your life is a journey, not an experience one day. He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and will not do? There is a doing that proves his Lordship. Are you following me, please? And so he begins to lead you through experiences that compels you to see the need for him as Lord. Because you begin to see that the governing influence of his presence is not legislating every sector and facet of your life. And as a result, you will say, oh God, like the psalmist, search my heart and try my thoughts. And if there be any evil way in me, lead me to the way everlasting. And then God first and foremost leads you to his verdict about you. That will be the first embarrassment you probably must have gotten as a great man of God. That God tells you, this is my conclusion about your heart. Your heart is desperately wicked. They just gave you a word as the meekest man of God. And God is saying, your heart is dead. This is my verdict. I am called Alpha Omega. I don't need to pass through time. Beginning and the end are present tense in my presence. I have done my analysis and here is my conclusion. Your heart, Joshua Selman, is desperately wicked. In other words, you should lose the ability to trust yourself outside the mercies of God because you do not even know what you can become. Hallelujah. David, who would not kill Saul, an obedient young boy, was at the wilderness. Hallelujah. When the prophet Samuel began to cry and lament over Saul, the Bible says that the Lord spoke to Samuel and said, for how long shall you weep, seeing that I've rejected Saul as king? He said, but now take thy horn and go to the house of Jesse, and there anoint the next king. And the Bible says they had to go and bring David, a smelling boy in the wilderness who was diligent with his hard work. You would imagine that guy would have no guile in him whatsoever. To the extent that when they anointed him, he went back to the wilderness. He didn't even run to the throne. That was a sign of submission. It was a sign of diligence. It was a sign of respect. But you watch the analysis of David's heart. When he had opportunity twice to kill Saul, he did not kill him. He said, I would not do this against God's anointed. Is that not what we will call the fear of the Lord? I mean, imagine a gentleman like that who would not love him. But little did he know that enshrined in his heart were tendencies and encodings that have not reached their kairos time to be made manifest. The Bible says when he became a king and began to enjoy in the bounty of the palace, he said, when men go for war, when kings go for war, David remained. Because no man at that point, no man would talk to him. The real content of his heart began to find expression. And one morning, while he meandered across his royal corridor, suddenly was like a dream, but he looked well and he saw a lady bathing. And he said, I am king. I beg no man. I toast no lady. I have no respect for any. Remember the language of kings that we discussed yesterday. I have no sorrow. I have nothing. And he said, go and catch that girl and bring for me. You see, in ancient times, they didn't toast. There's nothing like, I'll answer you after 3 weeks. Answer there and now, or they will execute you. The king did. Read Ahasuerus. I mean, in the book of Esther. Ahasuerus, they gathered them. When he chooses one, he said, the rest go. You understand what that means. So, David take someone's wife. Where was God at that time? Where was his fear for God? A man who wanted to build a temple for God. What suddenly happened? To the extent that he called Uriah at the war front to come back. And he said, please go and all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. Go home and rest. And Uriah said, me? I can't go home. I will sleep with my wife or do something. And that is forbidden for great men. Because there is time for battle. And he was angry and he wrote a letter. He gave him his own death sentence. He killed him. Hallelujah. And when Uriah died, guess what? When Bathsheba got pregnant for the first child, David cried. He didn't even say, oh yeah, now just go to your husband. He was, I hope you know, she was still the mother of Solomon. I, the Lord. While you are rejoicing and saying, Lord, if you give me this anointing, or if you give me this church, just give me this power, and you're even kneeling down and crying, tears and mucus are all coming out of your mouth. The Lord, the Word of God, which is a person, not just a book, is discerning the thoughts and the intents of your heart. Are you following me now? There are certain languages that people use. See, when you go through certain processes in the spirit, you are empowered to discern those who have not gone through it. Nobody will talk jargons for you on stage, no matter what he wears, because you can stand and say, You know a man that has passed through that stage. Because when you go through it, you are empowered to guide others through it. This is why a lot of men of God have no message when they are counseling people. They have not gone through certain experiences that can prepare them to relate with the dealings of people. So someone says, I woke up in the morning and I had a dream. I died and then I came back to life. I said, the devil. Who told you is the devil? But when you have interacted and done business in the spirit, you can recognize and say, ah, this is a strange sound. But then I know this sound because it's a sign and a symbol of the experiential dealings that God will begin to do in you. He's bringing you to a realm in the spirit called Galatians 2:20, when you'll be left with nothing but the life of Christ. He said, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. And this life that I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And a possibility exists to jump classes and even graduate yourself by yourself. Award yourself, give yourself certificate and employ yourself in the spirit. And God will just be watching. But those classes and lectures you missed, I assure you, if it is God, you will take them again. No matter how far you go, you will take them again. It's embarrassing in the physical realm to sit down in a primary school stool. You know these small chairs you used to sit down on, this dark wooden one. But many people are coming back to sit down there because they have jumped many classes in the spirit. I assure you, if it is the Lord Almighty, don't you think God is just in a rush? He can wait. Oh yes. He can wait. If a whole generation will not be ready, he will keep the suspense and zip up the story of that generation until they pass, and he will raise a new people. God can wait. He can wait. If we understand this, we will know that it's not as if God cannot do without us. I assure you, he can wait. He waited until the generation of Joshua and Caleb perished and passed away. Only two of them from that generation made it to the promised land. The rest died. He waited till new people were born. And then he told all the people, Moses told Joshua and the rest, he said, sound a warning and tell them what happened to their fathers, so that if they mess up, the same thing can happen to them. Let me tell you something. We have experienced many dimensions of God in the body of Christ, but we have lacked a major dimension. In the Hebrew, it's called Yirat Adonai, the fear the Lord, the spirit of reverence. It's not supposed to scare you. It's supposed to bring you into the point of sonship. You see, sonship does not just talk about rights, it talks about responsibilities. Hallelujah. He said, an heir, as long as he's a child, he differeth not from a slave, though he be Lord of all. He said, but he's under tutors and governors until the time appointed. And so if you do not step into sonship, the elements in this life and things that are orchestrated will begin to win you and train you until you come to that point where you have a testimony of the Lord for yourself. So the Lord begins to walk with you. Please follow me, because this is what God is doing in our hearts. Suddenly you go to pray, and for 3 hours you are praying, Kapro Shata Katabaladaba. You are asking for anointing, or you are saying, Lord, I came to talk to you about my relationship. I've been talking to you, you are keeping quiet. And God will say, all right, begin to write. One, lost. And he said, God, what I say? He said, write. Two, bitterness. Three, you have an evil tendency to the extent that you can kill a human being. And I say, Lord, it's just because I'm obeying you. I know that this is not me you are talking about. God is saying, you right. I want to make you command power in the heavens. The first thing is, he begins to embarrass you. You can choose to bind that spirit away and depart from the presence of God and say, I don't like this kind of dealing. See, I like the one that tells me I'm already complete. I'm okay. I'm fine. You see, the Bible says if your strength fails you in the day of battle, it says your strength is small. There are many people whose strength is small. And the angel tapped Elijah and he said, eat, for the journey is far. He ate a little and he slept again. The angel tapped him. He said, I know how far you are going. You eat, because the journey is far. And the Bible says he went in the strength of that bread, 40 days journey. Let me tell you, the preparations and the dealings and the furnishings that God is bringing right now, if we do not yield ourselves to it, the lapse of it, nobody, you will not have time. The responsibility upon our generation is enormous. You may not have certain times to build yourself this way. The only way you will do that is to opt out of the army and remain at the back. Hallelujah. Ashatabala. See, when you begin to pray like this, it's not a lack of the understanding of new creation realities. It's a higher realm based on the light of God that you see. There is a dimension of God that you will see that you will shout unclean. Without your brain coordinating, your mouth will begin to confess. It's not a sign of weakness. It is an expression. This is how the Lord begins to deal with people. Are you listening to me? For many years, I preached, I moved with power, I did unusual things with anointing and grace and glory. Many realms that I see people bragging about today by the grace of God. These are realms that other people had conquered years before. And then God said, let's begin to walk now. At the apex of this glory, God said, all right, let's get back to the secret place and listen to my own judgment. You have had enough applause from people. And when the Lord began to x-ray my life, I felt like dying. I was ashamed of myself and I broke down in my pride and pompousness. Hallelujah. And then, when Jesus appeared to me, he left an imprint of his glory. When I saw him, I felt ashamed of myself. I thought I was not born again. See, all this drama and story people talk, I'm telling you, when you see him as he is, you will be glad that you were alive, number one. Number two, he will not need to talk. He will answer questions and create more questions. That's what will let you know that he's... See, Ezekiel called him a wheel inside a wheel. He didn't know how. He said, how will a wheel inside a wheel? He will satisfy your current hunger and leave you with a greater one. Hallelujah. I saw him in his glory. I know that he's alive. And I know that he's loving. But I know that he can be a terrible God. I'm telling you. Hallelujah. I've said it. Every time I see people say Apostle Joshua Selman, I just remember Apostle Smith Wigglesworth, Apostle St. Patrick, Apostle Smith, Apostle Alexander Dewey. And then I just put myself in the picture and feel so ashamed. And I just draw back in sackcloth and ashes and said, Lord, a day will come, I will get there. I don't condemn myself, but I won't lie to myself either. Tonight, some of you will need to stop lying to yourself and say, I know God is helping me, but I've not gotten there yet. Lord, let's start this journey. Some of you, after tonight's meeting, will say, Lord, truly, just X all this nonsense and let's start a correct journey again, because we have been building nonsense. After our foundation, we started putting zinc. Although it was red span, you will take away that zinc and start building and call the carpenters. He said, who are these four horns? These four horns that speak against Judah. He said, I will send carpenters. And they will begin to build and tell you, Mr. Man, for this part of the wood, you need mahogany. Remove this tree that you are putting there and let us put a new substance. Hallelujah. But you must open your heart. How many of us are truly ready to open our hearts this morning? I hope that this look you are looking at me is a sign of a contrite and a broken spirit, not annoyance. Because I'm not going to stop. We are still going to talk about some more. Your pastor loves you too much to leave you the way you are. There will be a furnishing. And when you arise, you will arise with a new glory. Hallelujah. Don Moen sang and said, distant shores and the islands will see your light as it rises on us. That's the prophecy. Distant shores and the islands will see your light. That's what is going to happen. Nigeria is going to present a portrait of apostolic Christianity. Yes, I saw it. In 2005, the Lord told me there will be 37 Jesus channels in this station. When I said it, many people talk stories. One by one, they are already coming. But even the real ones are yet to come. Apostolic blueprints that will present the true stature and character of the church. It will happen. This is why God is dealing with us like this. It doesn't cost God anything. It doesn't cost God anything. When he said, my son, give me your heart. He didn't say, give me your offering or your seed or your tithe. Give me your heart first. Every time I pray and I say, this will be my testimony. Distant shores and the islands will see your light. There will be a decree of light and power. We will walk like gods upon the earth. Men who are thoroughly furnished. We understand the language and the handwritings of the Spirit. We have gone through the process, through the furnace of affliction, thoroughly walked upon by the Spirit. We answer to only one name and one voice. There is one captain leading this army. And then we will stand and display the excellency of his majesty to principalities and powers, where we will stand and keep captive the forces of darkness over territories. You step into a territory without negotiation, visa or no visa, transportation by the Spirit. You step in and you shake governments and territories, and there is only one name that will be exalted. But this is the process. This is the process that will lead to that kind of glorious army. There is no room for disappointment. And around three was with Jesus Christ every day of 2005. Every day. There are human beings that walk like that on the earth. Every day of 2005. Hallelujah. Every day. You imagine that there is a realm that is existing like this. What are we bragging of? When there are people walking with Jesus Christ and they ask her, didn't you ask him for power and healing and anointing? She said, I'm not interested. Based on what I saw after my voyage with him, I'm not interested in these things. I found out that I insult myself. There is, once I see a higher light, he said, they that are in darkness have seen a great light that makes them to leave that light. He said, if your eyes, if the light that you are seeing is darkness, how great is that darkness? Many people, what they are calling dark light now, will become darkness when the true light comes up. He said, but the true light that lighted the world has come. The true light. The heart condition. Let me tell you something. No matter how long you fast and pray and roll on the floor, that school of the heart, that refiner's fire. There are some cups in the spirit, you cannot fast them away. You must drink them, everything to the last drop. If you want to carry this apostolic and prophetic mantle to the nations, no way. There's no dodging it. When God finishes with you, even 1 billion will not have an effect in you. It's not that you are trying to pray it out of your life. You have assumed a posture in the spirit that it becomes impossible for these things to take its place in your life. You have taken a pledge, an allegiance of fraternity with God. Hallelujah. Many people cannot stand the loss of Babylon. That great harlot. You know why? Because she's coming strong in Nigeria. A wind is blowing her into this country and she's stepping in, wearing her apparels of harlotry, and in the artistry of her wardom, she's moving around with that cup, seeking for people that she will give souls and gold and silver. He said, but the remnant of the house of Jacob, they are those who will say, you may not see trees, no problem. No matter how long it will take us, we will bear root downwards. Because you know the advantage of bearing root forward. All little shrubs, they have to wait for rainy season. But when you bear root downwards, you will hit the aquifer and no longer depend on seasons for your nourishment. He said, he shall be like a tree that is planted by the streams. Others are waiting for rain, but this one is planted. He has gotten to the fountain. And when men are saying, my life is spiritually dry, suddenly you come with a new order. And they say, from whence cometh this wisdom? What many Jews are doing is what the least person in this army will be doing today. I am convinced and I believe. I believe that in that time there will no longer be things we hold called miracle services, because there will not be need for it again. When there will be a new order of what commands respect in this earth. And those who cannot stand in the spirit to survive that stress test of the spirit will pack out. Certainly. The Lord began to teach me about territorial influence when we went to a land in Jos for a crusade. They said it had not rained in that land. I didn't even know about it. We stepped into the land, and I tell the truth and I lie not, within minutes, cloud formed from nowhere and it began to rain. Now, I didn't understand. I was just happy. We all lighted that God was doing great things. And then I said, I want to see the king in this land. They said, young boy, you are asking for too much. I said, we will see the king. Because I'm a king. This is not, I'm a king. No, I am a king. It's not a confession. It's the truth. But where is your crown? And where is your scepter of judgment? And where is the signet ring that you stamp the stains of the spirit? Because when the prodigal son came back to his father gave him a ring. And without that ring, there is no stamping of the word of a king. That's why people say, become and it does not become. Do this and it does not be. I pray that God in this meeting will put that scepter of greatness, that you can legislate and dethrone principalities and speak to the heavens and orchestrate territorial influence. Do you believe what you are hearing? But are you ready to let him walk your heart? It's not going to be one day. So don't just think it's one day retreat. It will embarrass you. It will sting your ego. It will reduce you to a point where you won't feel guilty, but you will be convicted. You will know what it means for the sword of the spirit to press through a heart of a man. And it brings you to that point where you die. And you come into a realm called Galatians 2:20. It's not just a statement in scripture. It's a realm in the spirit. You assume a posture. And you are unshakable and immovable. And it is only what God wants. You become an expression. Are you listening to me? Now, the thing is that while you are going through all of these things, little will you know that you are being transformed. For every level you get into, a badge is given to you that every force of darkness in the realm of the spirit can know your level and they can reckon. It's a reward system. Otherwise, there is no, the justice of God is not at work there. When you go through those things, a badge is given. This is why the demons looked at the sons of Sceva. They said, you are sons, but you are not of the Lord. You are of Sceva. You are sons of a priest, not sons of God. He said, Jesus I know, because we saw an identity with him. Paul followed that path too. 17 years in the wilderness of Arabia, surviving the tests and the buildings of the spirit. He has gained this power. He said, but you just saw a lot of things and you were mimicking it. And it proved how weak they were by beating them and stripping them of one man. There is a realm where you will rise when God deals with you. Where sickness and all these divine healing, divine health struggles will be. You will even forget about it. It becomes an old syllabus. Because it's a mountain you have climbed. He said there is a path which no fowl. Hallelujah. It's not the issue of I will not be sick. You won't be. He said, no inhabitant in Zion shall say, I am sick. But the condition is Zion. In Zion. There's something about Zion. Innumerable company of angels. Where the spirits of just men made perfect move freely. Are you listening to me? You become a wonder. You become a carrier of the presence and the glory of God, the essence of all that he attempts to communicate per time. You have no agenda of yourself. Every agenda is a derivative of that which you receive from him for every season. No matter how many times people pressure you, and when you look at that great harlot come to you, you won't even pray about it. You are too busy walking. it doesn't become a prayer point again. Hallelujah. They check you in your hotel room and one glorious sister comes and says, I was wondering, the way you are looking restless during the ministration, I just thought if we could talk. Let me tell you something that happened. I was in worry. God doesn't send you there, don't go. Ask relevant questions before you go. Praise the Lord. And after a wonderful session with the Spirit, I just lay down and I was just blessing the Lord for mighty things in the meeting. And I ordered food. There were prostitutes around outside, but when I entered, I ordered food. Suddenly there was a knock in my door. When I opened that door, the lady that brought the food and the way she was dressed, I just stood. I thought about my life, my destiny, the call of God upon my life. I collected the food. I said, how much? She forgot to bring water. She said, oh, I forgot. I said, no problem. I collected it. I kept. Bible says flee. It didn't say pray. I gave her the money. Was it 1.5? I said, just take. You bring change for me. Later she knocked again. She brought the change. I closed it and locked the door. I knew that this lady was operating based on spirit. It wasn't just seduction. It was a spirit. I was on my way to quietly come back to Kaduna. You leave Kaduna sound. You come back with something else. Hallelujah. Then that's not the whole story. At about 1 a.m. in the night, I was telling someone on phone, just talking, you know. And then I had quiet. Oh, everywhere was quiet. The receptionist had gone to sleep. Everybody. I just had kah, 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 kah. As soon as I opened the door, I don't want to begin to describe what I saw. But don't imagine it. Just imagine pure things. Don't think of all these things. The lady said, sorry, are you the receptionist here? I didn't even know what to say again. I said, are you not seeing my room? I said, don't say this kind of thing again. No. She said, please, I want you to come and walk a guy out of my room. I jammed the door. I locked it. I pleaded the blood. And I prayed in tongues. Satabala katabalada. Colorful and it's bright. I must get there. Beautiful. Glorious, I must get there. My future is bright. A harlot cancels your days of travail in the presence of God. See, there is a depth of revelation that you need to stay away from women to access. When David wanted bread, he came and he said, is there bread? And the priest said, there is no ordinary bread. There is only hallowed bread. He said, here's the condition. If your men have not had any affair with women, they can touch of that hallowed bread. Ladies, you are wonderful. You are a blessing to the world. But on that day, when I woke up in the morning straight, I packed my load and ran to the airport. They said, yeah, it's not time. I said, oh, wait. At least in the airport, everybody is there. I would have slept with that girl quietly. Who would know? Won't you come back anointed? If it was you, what would you do? Don't laugh. What would you have done? Many of you at that point say, hey! He said, go and come back. Let me think about it. I say, Lord, if I escape this, you must console me, oh. With all this, it's an allegiance of fraternity. You have made up your mind and said, Lord, I'm on your side whatsoever. Are you listening to me? I am on your side. You must mean it. Your heart. He said, my son, give me your heart. God must take a hold of your heart. Hallelujah. So you go to minister and maybe you were supposed to raise an offering for the church or do something, and you do, and you just find out that you didn't hear how much. Later they told you it was 40 million. You call the Jew and say, come, are you joking? They brought on a radium of 500,000. Say, do I look like your mate? I was sweating here. This is what goes on in our many men of God and their garbage. They say, oh God, better do something. Otherwise, I will disgrace you in this church. But the guy, when he came up on stage, he said, "You are my God. You are my all." And God was just looking. And the angels were joining too. "You are my all." Have you seen people do that? "You are my God. You are my King." And they are already eyeing somebody in the choir. "You are very stupid. You are my Lord. You are my this." Which acting is going on for heaven's sake in the church of God? You come home and you see everybody watching every kind of thing, doing every kind of thing. I used to know of a man of God who would sit down and watch pornography freely with his concubine. He taught a very dangerous message that immune him from any questions. And I tell you, that guy saw dangerous power and anointing in his life and ministry. Hallelujah. And then one day, one occultic girl, he dragged the girl to go and deliver the girl or pray for her, whatever. "Samson, I will arise as before." And that guy got a shock of his life. A very dramatic shock of his life. That lady began to give him word of knowledge and tell him everything and said, "This moment, I can drop you dead if I want to. This moment." The guy looked, she told him different things, told him the amount in his room, told him everything, and told him the spirit in this room. He said, "Right now, if you try it, I will do it." And honestly, she would have done it. The guy began to ask God for forgiveness. She said, "It's a lie. You are only embarrassed." That's what she told him. She said, "This is what's seen in the spirit. You are not repentant." Because everybody in hell who asks Jesus for forgiveness, when he doesn't respond, they start abusing him. He's not genuine. Are you listening to me? God is cleaning this house and bringing. See, it's because you are already bearing fruit. He said, "He that bears fruit, my Father will prune." So let hope rise. Darkness trembles in your holy light. Let hope rise. That's what is happening. For darkness trembles in your holy light. Say, "Lord, I give you my heart." Your ambitions begin to give way. Listen, when God begins to walk on you, pride is the first sign that there is progress in that walk. Your pride is dead. Once that begins to happen to you by yourself, not as a result of an embarrassing situation, you come to a point where humility becomes a realm, not a temporary state of pretense. You know, women of God do it. When they're about to give you mic, you just bow down. And then the pride comes out there. Humility is not going to sit down at the back. When we came, they honored us in front here. But it's a state that acknowledges that there is one who is mightier than I. And that I'm not ashamed of inadequacy outside of him. Regardless of what they call you. John said, "There cometh one mightier than I." In many circles, that means the Jew. I'm talking of the King of Kings. Because this is the portrait of this army. Where you become an usher in the spirit, pointing men to a higher king than yourself. You don't just camp around them. Where you are not embarrassed to apologize to people, whether the greatest or the least. Hallelujah. A broken and a contrite heart. The secret place becomes for you a matter of life and death. Not just to go and learn church languages. He said, "As the deer panted after the water brooks." You stop going to God because you are looking for a message to preach or you are looking for charisma. And then while that is happening, you will not know that there is a buildup of power. There is a buildup of authority One day you will step out and God will test run what he has been doing in your life to console you, and you will come back with mighty testimonies. He began to deal with the disciples and expose to them one by one the state of their heart, and they did not know how transformed they had become. And one day he sends them, and the Bible says they came back rejoicing. If you were truly with Jesus, be sure you will come back rejoicing. They say even the devils were subject to us through thy name. And he said, do not rejoice because the spirits are subject to you. He told Nathanael, because I have said these things, you have believed. He said, verily, verily, you will see greater things. You will see the heavens open and you will see the Son of Man ascend and descend. I'm stretching your hunger for him. So your hunger doesn't just say more of you. Many of us say more of you, but it's vague. You don't even know what you are asking for. Hallelujah. Get to a point where you say, Lord,
you have taken all the glory, you have taken all the praise, you have taken all dominion, you have taken all the praise, and you have made them yours, you have made them yours. Ni naimaka, naimaka. Naimaka sujada ni naimaka ni naimaka. I give you the highest praise. I give you, Lord, I give you. I give you the highest praise. You have taken all the glory. You have taken all the praise. You have taken all dominion. And you have taken all the praise. Lord, you have made them yours. Ni naimaka, naimaka. Ni naimaka, sujada. Ni naimaka, naimaka. Ni naimaka, sujada. Naimaka, ni naimaka, sujada.
Pride dies, unforgiveness dies, the weight and that sin. He says, seeing then that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, he says, let us therefore lay aside every weight, every constraint, and the sin that doth easily beset us, so that it will permit us to run. The sin that doth easily beset us. That loss that makes you vulnerable. That loss that makes you answer the call of Babylon. The harlotry of her who is a compromising one. You come to a point where your life becomes an expression of his glory. Everything about you, from your words to your life. I'm not talking of speaking slowly or speaking with piety. It's a state. When men look at you, you reveal a personality. You have stopped revealing yourself. You have assumed. When a spirit possesses a man, it begins to manifest itself through that man. It forces the man to assume the posture. Are you listening to me? So when a man is possessed, he begins to behave like a dog. Behave like this. When the Holy Spirit takes a hold of you, he doesn't just take a hold of you to anoint you. Leave that anointing issue. You notice we've not mentioned anointing here yet. Now is not the time for it. That time is coming. The conference is still on. We're building. This is the second session. Because many people like anointing. Calm down. Calm down. For you cannot put new wine in an old wineskin. You must first take away the wineskin and bring in new. And then you will fill it with new wine. Listen, many of you don't know what God is doing in this ministry at this point. You will see glory and power, not just in the pastor's life alone, but it will be a testament, a charisma that people will be identified with. Men and women who carry such glory and presence, where although you are anointed to the extent that you can do everything, but you can still clean the seat.
He has taken all the praise. He has taken all dominion. He has taken all.
And you move in power. Where the Lord gives you 1 million, and you say, Lord, is this the feeling of millions? It has lost hold over my life. What do you want me to do with it? And God says, I gave you so that you sow it into a ministry. Say, Your Majesty, at your call, without delay, without nothing, it will go. Nothing, no one, no place possesses the ability to take his place in your life. It's an obsession, an irrecoverable one, where you love him more than anointing. He said, behold, I show you a more excellent way. For if you can speak with tongues of men and of angels and have no love for God, you are of nothing. If you know all prophecies and all mysteries and you do not sustain that passion, you are nothing. Even if you have filial to the highest extent that you can lay your life for your brother, and you do not possess that love for him. He said, there remained these three: faith, the commodity of transaction in the spirit; hope, that empowers us to be optimistic. But he said, out of all of these ones, the greatest is love for him. How much do you love him? He that loveth me, John 14:21, he that keepeth my commands is he that loves me. And I will love him, and the Father will love him, and we will manifest ourselves to him. In the next few minutes, we are going to cry in a way in this place. I don't know how you want to do it. Are you listening to me? Everybody is going to drop every title. Tonight, there's no Apostle Joshua Selman. While you are doing your own, thank God there's a carpet here. I'm going to cry. This is a minister's meeting. Are you listening to me? There will be a genuine cry. Instrumentalist, when that is the time, you will clash the cymbal and let us connect with the heavens and raise a cry and say, Lord, search my heart. This is why many of us have not entered some realms. It's not demons. It's the love of God to you. Many musicians, after going to music schools, they say they want to connect with this person and this person and that person. One day I ministered somewhere. Afterwards, some youth came and met me and they said, we're inviting you as a music minister in our program. I said, I don't sing, though. I'm not a music minister. But when I'm in his presence, I sing and he likes it. And he decided to bless me with an aura of his presence. When a man sings, you are able to discern the realm from which he's projecting from. Because he communicates his secret place and it comes like fire upon your spirit. You may not remember all the words he's saying, but an imprint, he has become a vessel unto honor. It leaves a mark in your spirit. And so for days, you wake up and you are crying. You don't know why you are crying. You cannot explain it. So you are running away from people because you don't want any embarrassment. But that song you had, you will hear it in your dream. You will hear it when you wake up. For I vow to God that if at any time I will stop representing him, he should take my life. It's an allegiance of fraternity. And I mean it from the depths of my heart. It doesn't matter what. It doesn't matter where. I have come to a point where I have seen the vanity of life outside of Christ. He becomes absolute fulfillment. Greater than ministry. Greater than husband. Greater than wife. Greater than prosperity. But then when you follow him, these things will follow you in successions you cannot stop. Hallelujah. I shared it the other time. Let me just share it just to encourage us since we are ministers. When Lagos, just serving the Lord, when someone walked up to me, a woman, after the service, she just got down on her knees and said, the Lord led me to sow a plot of land to your ministry in Lekki, in Lagos. A plot of land in Lekki. It's like giving you a plot of land in Maitama, in Abuja. That's somebody's prayer point. For how many days? Do you know that the arm of the Lord is not too short that he cannot save? nor is his ear deaf. He said, but in between him and you is your iniquity. Iniquity is not sin. Iniquity is a perpetual, willful, continuous state of rebellion against the governing influence of the Christ. That's what is called iniquity. That's what takes men to hell. That's why the Bible says, in that day they shall say, we healed in your name, we prophesied in your name. He didn't answer and say it's a lie. He said, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. He said, they draw nigh to me with their mouth, but their heart is far. You come to a point where in your jokes, in your joy, in your fun, Christ. St. Patrick said it, Christ before me, Christ above me, Christ around me, Christ in my head, Christ in my hands. I am an expression. I've become like a puppet. I only move under his influence. And it so happens that Romans chapter 8 tells us that when this happens, this is the characteristic feature of they that be called the sons of God. He said, for as many, meaning not everyone will be interested, for as many who will allow themselves to come under this sovereign influence of the king, so that their life is only at the impulse of his word. He said, even though he gives you what will constrain you, he said, let this come pass away from me. He said, but nevertheless, not my will, but yours, those who have laid down their lives. And then you will find out that there is true life when you lay your life down.
And I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. Eva Shalama Kurakalabara. No one else will do. No one else will do. For nothing else can take your place. Oh, to feel the warmth of your. Help me find a way. Sing it from your heart. While you're seated, help me find a way. Bring me back to you. You're all I want. Sing it to him. And you're all I ever needed. Help me know you are near. Oh, you're all I want. You're everything I need. You're all I ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you, I need. Help me know you, I need. Help me know you, I need. Take us to a higher realm of God. Help me know you. For he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of his wings. And I will say of the Lord is my strength, my rock and my fortress. Hallelujah.
Tonight, the Lord is probing our hearts under the light of his glory. Yes, I know you are a man of God. I know you are an apostle. You are a prophet. You are a teacher. But can I be alone with you tonight? Because I have some work that I want to do in your heart. Hallelujah.
today, many of us are going to make a genuine decision for Jesus to be Lord of our lives. Lord, owner, master. That your life will move. You will kick pride away forever in your life. Today is the day you will forgive people. You will release people. You will lay aside those weights and the sin that doth easily beset you. For who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity nor sworn deceitfully. As a result, he shall receive a blessing from the Lord. God wants to anoint you. God wants to give you a charisma of sonship. But I need you to know that this hard thing, above and beyond everything, hallelujah, above and beyond everything, we are going to release all.
All I want is you. Take over. Take over. Till I am consumed by nothing else but you. All I want is you. Take over, yeah. Take over till I am consumed by nothing, nothing, nothing. Nothing else.
In the next 10 minutes, listen. I want you to feel free. Thank God your auditorium is large. We are going to raise a cry in this place. This is not a congregational cry. You and God. You are going to say, Lord, the Lord is going to be revealing things to you. And you say, Lord, I make my allegiance. Hallelujah. While that is going on, drama, keep on. Please scatter yourselves around and begin to pray. Take this seriously. Rakata balalaba shena na 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 masiene ne 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 na. Malia na 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 mosiene ne ne ya. Makabara na 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 mosia na Maria. Neba na na paye na 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 ma. Maya na na masala marika dia ra 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 ra. Era paria na mala mosia na 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 na. Ne karabasa na na Maria ne ne ne. Make up rakatavalara. You reign, oh Lord. You reign. Nebarara bashata katavalara. Come on, cry from your spirit. This is the generation that seek thy face, oh Jacob. You reign. Nekarabasa na 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 na. Yahweh, 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 Yahweh. We cry, Yahweh. Adonai, you're the Lamb of God. You are worthy, worthy of my praise. King of kings, you're the Lord of lords. Let your kingdom reign. Adonai, let your
your kingdom. I live for your glory. I preach for your glory. I minister for your glory. It's not about me. It's for your glory. Thank you for the anointing. Thank you for the grace. But be lifted alone.
What you give me, no matter where you take me, no matter what level, I am an ambassador. I only represent a government. I lay it aside. Let the old go. The worship team sang yesterday, let go and let God. Let go. Many of us need to release it. Go ahead and begin to release people right now. That devil of unforgiveness will not stop you from entering a new level. Go ahead. I let go. I release offenses. The Bible says, in that day they shall be offended. I let go. I let go bitterness. I let go backbiting. Lord, blessed are the pure in heart. For they shall see God. I step into a new order of love and power and fire and passion and commitment. Let the fruit of the Spirit be at work in me. Let me conform to the fullness of the character. That's why I sow those swords in the spirit. You have my all. Lord, I mean it from my heart. You have my all. You can trust me on this. It doesn't matter, listen. It doesn't matter what you are going through. It's not an excuse to compromise. Lord, you seem so far away. A million miles onward, it seems today. Because this is why a lot of people compromise. We give excuses because of what I'm suffering.
And though I haven't lost my faith, I must confess right now that it's hard for me to pray. But I don't know what to say, and I don't know where to start.
But as you give grace this morning, oh, His grace is mighty.
With all that's in my heart, I will sing, yeah. I will pray.
Conquer your challenges.
Even in my darkest hour, through the sorrow and the pain, I will sing, I will pray.
This morning,
I lift my hands to honor you, because you're
I lift my hands
to honor you, because your word is true.
I lift my hands to honor you,
because your word.
Sing it one more time.
I lift my hands to honor you, because.
Sing it one more time. You may be crying, but sing it. I will not compromise. Your word is true.
I lift my hands to honor you. And I will sing, and I will preach, and I will heal, and I will bless,
whether it's convenient or not.
I will teach, and I will serve.
Do all this and more for you. Let every spirit of rebellion depart from the presence of God's people. Let a new heart and a new spirit. Hallelujah. I'll just pray for you for a minute. For I see that God wants to do one or two things here. We're out of time. Just give me a few minutes. Hallelujah. I want to pray for a certain people. God is granting grace. There is a work happening. I see these things in the realm of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And God is bringing a separation. Many of you have cried and have said, Lord, I need you. You will experience His grace this morning. In these few minutes. Hallelujah. I want to pray for you. That there be a fire. When we take our time to minister to the sick. And all impartations when. Maybe when I come back for the other sessions. What we are building. Hallelujah. It's important. So that when the anointing comes, it will last. And you will command power in the heavens. He said, this is my beloved son. He said, John remained in the wilderness until his season of appearance. And Job said, all the days of my appointed time I will wait. Till my change comes. Lift your hands in 1 minute and say, Lord, I thirst for you. And I long to thee in your presence, for in your presence, that's where I am strong. In your presence, oh Lord, in your presence. That's where I belong. I am safe. Hallelujah. And the Lord shows me 4 angels
standing in each of the roles in this place. Now, I don't see these angels all the time, but every time I see them, I know that God is doing work in individuals, not ministries. And I believe that they will move across this place. They will give you a heart of flesh, and they will turn you. Oh, it will happen. For with it again, this is strange. I see water flowing, but there's fire in it. Water with fire, yet the fire is not quenched. This is what will happen. So will you open up the gate? Will you open up the gate? Will you open up the door? Ezekiel said, from the east side of the temple came the glory of the Lord. Would you open up the gate? Would you open up the gate? And just as God is doing that, listen. For many of you who have been oppressed, oppression of all sorts, it will leave. Because many of you love God, but you have paid a lot of price. And some of these things are orchestrated by the power of darkness. Oh, God will visit you this morning. It wasn't my intention to do anything. You believe that? Lift your hands. I want to pray for you. Ushers, please help me. Let me have this. Lift your hands. Help me with the singing. Rata parada balada bosh. Mekata brashta. Alright, now I see these angelic activities. Lord, I pray, lift your hands. Father, like a mighty rushing wind, your people have travailed. It comes like fire in the name that is above all names. I don't know what it is I see, but this hole, I stand in this row right now. Let the power of the Spirit move across this building. Please bring them out. Shataka, rapatele kosa, mambrikaya. Help me with the simba. Lift your hands. Oh God, I pray that you walk across this place, that these men that you have separated all across this place, like a winnowing fire, Akalika, Mareta, Rakaya, Pantereka, Reposkotaya, bring them out, Katalia, Rabasta Diada, Rakata Presea. Bring them out, Kaposa, Marekata, Ratariada, Leprososa, Rekea, Efronto, Leposade, Ekereka, Makarataba, Rapastatalia, Metroskoposata, Meshataya. No devil stand, thou power of darkness. Your time is up. Go, 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 go. Bring them out, Kaparete Isaya, Maprasariata. Bring them out. Bring them out. Kokrosko posa, rapata kosoto, reketeketeketeba, mapratia. A new door is open up to you. Lift your hands, for this is not all. My God and my King, let no man stand the fiery presence of the Almighty. Let it fall like rain. Is the weight of his glory. He's separating you. He's building you. No devil stands. No devil stands. No devil stands. At the back, the Lord shows me someone. I see an angel walking at the back. How foul devil. Let this girl go now. Let this girl go now. Let this girl go now. Now. Let her go. Let her go. Now. by the power of the Holy Ghost. For I see you in the realm of the Spirit. Let her go by the power that is in the name of Jesus. Bring you liberty. For the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Sister, look at me. Look at me. Just look at my eyes. Just look at my eyes. In the name that is above all names, I pray you will feel something rising from your stomach. It's the fire of the Spirit. You will never recover from it. Lord, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, stir up this fire in our spirit. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I need you. I need you. Nothing and no place, no one else will do. You will never be the same. And let the devil that torments you in the night in your dream go. 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 Let her go. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Listen, those of you who are here, this doesn't mean it's all of you, but I'm going to pray for you. An angel is standing by me and is asking me to just walk through. As I walk through, listen. As I walk through praying in tongues, one by one, there will be impartations and purgings and cleansings and healings. This is what the Lord tells me to do. Shada karabosa prata katabala daba koroso praha. Rabakata proso soprekate katebeleba. Raka paroso proto sopa. Ranta prasha talakaya. Rakatala bondo. Rakosko pradeka. Mabarekataya. Rabanda proso paya. Rekete kretebelekete. Kamparekatai. Rabashka posta bandekria. Atalata bakabra. Rabakata bonzo protos. Sister, the Lord will use you in a mighty way. What you are getting this morning is an impartation. It comes like fire upon your bones. For the heavens will be open over you, and you will begin to walk in paths of the Spirit. I do not know you, but the Lord tells me He will make a wonder out of you. My dear, look at me. That foul devil. Just lift your hands, for you will not hide behind her. Come out now, in the name of the Lord Jesus. I speak to you, I challenge you, affecting your body. I speak right now. I see fire being poured on you. I expose that hand of Satan in the name of the Lord Jesus. I set you free by the power of the Spirit. Your health, I restore that devil, because this is what I'm seeing. I'm seeing a devil standing and enchanting things over your life. This is what I see, and that's what is responsible for the health challenge you are suffering. But right now I speak in the name of Jesus. You cannot stand it. By the power of the Holy Ghost, be set free now. Now, in the name of Jesus, I see fire being poured on you. God is doing a mighty work, and you will not be able to stand it. In the name of Jesus. Parata shataba, randeka toka balakata. The Lord is showing me the last four digits of someone's number. 8761. 8761. 87. I'm seeing this number. Just faded, and I see the last four digits. 8761. I don't know what arrangement it is arranged, but this is what the Lord showed me. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I command, because there is oppression there, I see. In the name of Jesus, the hand of Satan is taken away from that life. Madam, please lift your hands, for the Lord wants to visit you. My God and my King, according to that which you have shown me, now, let there be a fire of visitation upon you. There's oil being poured on your hands. That's what I see in the spirit. Rataka radaba, retos kopreta lakaya namanda. Thank you, Jesus. You are all glory. That's the choir lady, right? That girl seated here. You are the one. Please lift your hands. I don't know what an angel is doing close to you, but the Lord asked me to stretch my hands towards you. Lord, I pray from your left hand, the Lord shows me, to your right hand, there will be a release of power. Power that will distinguish you. And the Lord says, I should tell you, it is the favor of the Lord. The favor of the Lord. The favor of the Lord. For that's your heart cry, the favor of the Lord. The Lord gives it unto you. Hallelujah. I pray that everyone who should be in this meeting, I speak to the atmosphere that God needs to do some thorough work, and this is a very prophetic conference. No matter how far, may the Lord bring them to come and receive of this thing. In the name of the Lord Jesus, and I pray for you, let there be an irrecoverable hunger. This is a separation unto sonship. The Lord has begun the work. It's not just a theme. Hallelujah. We have spoken about sonship. In the next series, we'll now talk about the manifestation. What is the blueprint and the structure that sons are supposed to assume? How the Bible says in Joel that they will hear the voice of the Lord. We give you all the praise. To you be all the glory. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the power of the Holy Ghost. You know what I did? I was looking at you. Suddenly I didn't see you again. I saw a veil. And the Lord said, take it. That's what I did. It wasn't an invitation for you. It was a miracle God is giving you. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray that all through this conference, we pray for every other servant of God who will be mounting this pulpit. Move powerfully through them. Let your counsel be communicated, building upon this that has been laid. Anoint them, O God, in a mighty way, and do wonders with them. And I pray for your people that they don't just become emotional for now and leave it, but let this be an experience in the name of Jesus, that they will open up their hearts to you and allow you to prune them and bring them to that place of grace. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Lift your hands and celebrate Him.
Hallelujah. Please, you may be seated. I've made a prison. What they do is, they come and sing. Once they finish their session, they are gone. They don't listen to words. So our culture should train up our own people. If you want to bless us, then you must be in the meeting till the end of the meeting. We are not looking for entertainers. We have all come to God's presence to be blessed. So just take, that's why you don't school post invite these guests to you. If you come, it's because you're hungry. If you see any guests, we can ask him to come, but we'll not put it. And you must stay to the end. Because they come to show how powerful, how good they sing. But this young man is a different person. So because we'll take the song, we'll take it together as a prayer. Paul collects the offering. Just go ahead. Thank you. for over a week. That became my special number, became my national anthem. It became, I could not find myself singing that song. Come and make my heart your home. But when we sing the song, you think maybe it's when you commit a sin. No. It's the rhythm of the Spirit that is communicated to your heart, just for you to express it. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. Can we just thank the Lord? Just lift up your voice. Say, God, we thank you. Thank you. It's because he loves us that he's not leaving us the way we are. Yet I